All right, well, I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 1:31 PM on April 15th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashes, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christmans. We have a quorum. My opening comments would be similar to a few things that I've said with some of the previous meetings that we've had remotely. And that is thank you again to staff and to everyone for the work you're doing, for making this happen so we can continue to move forward in a productive way. I thought we had a very good hearing yesterday. That was, I thought, again, went extremely smoothly, and I think it was effective. And we do have another one coming up on Friday. And I know we've had a few concerns raised about moving forward with that, but just a reminder to everyone, I do believe access will not be an issue because you can call in. That is how we will be taking public comments, and we'll even be leaving the record open for public comments an extended period of time after the hearing on Friday to give everyone ample opportunity to voice their opinion on the project if they so choose. So we, I believe, are set up the way we need to be on Friday, and I look forward to that process as well. And with that, that would conclude my opening remarks. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Good afternoon. I agree that the hearing is all set for Friday. I think it's going to be a productive hearing. I have been reading the concerns that folks have been sending in, and also letters from folks who want to proceed. So I think it's a mixed bag out there, and I think that the plans are in place. I'm comfortable that we can manage this effectively and get good public input. I was very comfortable with the hearing yesterday. I didn't feel like there was any issues with understanding the testimony. There wasn't any challenges with asking questions of the witnesses. And so I just thought it went very smoothly. We've done telephonic testimony in the past at other hearings, sometimes when various experts can't be present, and it works just fine. And I view the public testimony will be very similar to that. We'll be able to answer or ask questions of the witnesses, and hopefully everybody will be able to hear just fine. And I think it'll maybe not be as desirable as being in person, but I think that under the circumstances, and considering there's no timeline for this pandemic and the closures, I think we just need to do our best and make accommodations to move forward. And I think we've got a really good one here, so I'm comfortable with it, and look forward to the good discussion we're going to have on Friday and the meeting today as well. So thank you. That concludes my opening remarks.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Commissioner Christman.
Well, to change topic just a little bit, the reason that we're starting at 1:30 instead of our normal starting times at 10 o'clock is because today was one of the days of the previously scheduled Lignite Energy Council meetings. And in the morning, there were some sessions that I thought were particularly interesting for us as commissioners. And so I appreciate the other commissioners and staff accommodating and moving this to 1:30. Of course, LEC meetings have all been canceled because of the coronavirus. But so here we are. That if anyone is listening in and wondering why this isn't a normal 10 o'clock starting time, that's the reason.
All right. Thank you, Randy. We have six items on consent and the previous minutes. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda, I have one item. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company, light emitting diode street lighting, tariff and rates, case number PU-20-93.
Second.
This was also on the agenda on April 1st, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because it would just be echoing what I said before. But on April 1st, it was to suspend the rates to meet the 30-day deadline that we have, that we're required to meet before the rates then go into effect automatically. This is to streamline and clarify MSP lighting services related to converting to efficient LED lighting. It includes new rate schedules for different scenarios, and as mentioned before, the conversion to LED lighting does pay for itself in a short period of time. So this will pay for municipalities and NSP's service territory that they work with and provide energy to. So this is a notice of opportunity for hearing. And if you bear with me, I'm toggling back and forth on a few motions. I will give the date on that shortly. Okay, the comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 29th, 2019. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And for more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission at 701-338-2400. And that concludes my remarks. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Don't we need to vote on this one still?
Do you have any comments prior to voting?
I'm sorry. No, I don't.
Commissioner Christman? Okay, I believe that was a no.
No, sir.
Okay, Steve, I believe we're ready for a vote.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you. I have just two items. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Endeavor Field Services LLC, Skunk Hill Station to Belfield Oil Terminal Siting Application Case Number PU-20-161.
Second.
This is a notice of opportunity for a hearing. This is a pipeline, about a 7-mile, 8-inch crude oil transportation pipeline that the commission permitted in 2011. And our permit and order requires that if they want to change some things in the operation, they have to get approval from us. And so they want to actually reverse the flow of the crude oil in this pipeline, receiving oil at the interconnection with Bridger Pipelines LLC Skunk Station and transporting it south to the Belfield Oil Terminal. And they have asked in this application to waive the requirements for a hearing. And so this notice of opportunity for hearing is what we're doing instead of that. And if anybody has any issues with this change in operations, they should let us know by May 15th. Otherwise, we can make a decision on this without a hearing. And that concludes my comments.
Commissioner Christman?
No comments.
And I have no comments either.
We have a motion and a second. Seeing no comments, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you. My second motion, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Dakota Prairie Refining LLC, BOE South LLC, transfer certificate number 151 and permit number 162 and 163. Siting application, case number PU-20-165.
Second.
Excuse me. This is also a notice of opportunity for hearing. In December of 2013, the commission issued a permit for this corridor and route for the 8-inch pipeline between Dakota Prairie Refinery and Lario Shipping LLC Rail Hub in Stark County for the transmission of refined petroleum products. Last month in March, Dakota Prairie and BOE South LLC, which is formerly known as Lario Shipping, filed with the commission a joint application to transfer the certificate and the permits to Dakota Prairie. Anybody that has any comments or wishes to request a hearing on this issue should let us know also by May 15th. Otherwise, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And that concludes my comments on this one.
Commissioner Christman, any comments?
Nothing to add.
And I have nothing to add either.
We have a motion and a second and no further comments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman.
My first motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Boomerang Wireless LLC, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-13-203.
Second.
On October 9th of 2013, we received an order designating Boomerang Wireless, which is an Iowa company, as an eligible telecommunications carrier in all the exchange areas within North Dakota. The designation, which is known as a lifeline only ETC designation, is for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. On October 30th of just last fall, Boomerang filed a motion to amend the order, requesting that the commission eliminate certain requirements of the certification provisions. Boomerang is requesting that we eliminate the requirement to annually complete a listing of their lifeline customers, including the type of proof that they reviewed, the eligibility dates, and the North Dakota Department of Human Services form SFN-1059. That was something we implemented some years ago when there was, it seemed, according to news reports at least, a widespread fraud within that Lifeline cellular program, and the common term at the time was the Obama phones that were being traded up. It seemed pretty recklessly. So we adopted that requirement in order to limit that. But now a national verifier became mandatory for North Dakota as of January 15th of 2019. That national verifier is a system run by the Universal Services Administrative Company, which requires documentation from subscribers to ensure eligibility for Lifeline telecommunication service. That national verifier has made this information required by the commission October 9th of 2013 really unnecessary. So on November 21st of last year, we issued a notice of intent to amend the order and a notice of opportunity for hearing. No comments or requests for the hearing were received, but we did hold an informal hearing to discuss the issue with Boomerang. After that discussion, I see no reason to keep maintaining this requirement. It seems duplicative in that I feel that USAC is doing probably the best possible means of avoiding fraud and abuse within that program. That concludes my comments.
Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments?
I don't have any comments, nope.
And I don't have any comments either, Steve.
We have a motion and a second. And sensing no further comments, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move the commission approve the request of Aurora Wind Project LLC to release NL, which is ENEL, SPA from the parent company guarantee filed on September 16th, 2019 and amended October 10th, 2019. And further move the commission approve the letter of credit filed on February 26th of this year of 2020 in Aurora Wind Project LLC, Aurora Wind Project, Williams County Decommissioning Plan and Cost, case number PU-19-318.
Second.
So Aurora Wind is currently constructing a 300 megawatt wind facility in Williams County. They're required to file construction financial assurance to ensure the decommissioning of the facility in the event that it is abandoned prior to operation. So on September 16th of 2019, Aurora filed with us a parent guarantee for 5% of the estimated construction cost of the facility. That's the amount required. That is, in this case, equal to $19.25 million. And then after legal review, they updated it on October 10th of 2019, but it's still for the same amount. Upon further review of the updated parent guarantee, it was discovered that NLSPA, which is the parent guaranteeing Aurora's decommissioning obligations, does not meet our commission requirements to file a parent guarantee. So therefore, on February 26th of this year, Aurora filed a letter of credit for that same $19.25 million to replace the updated parent guarantee and to serve as construction financial assurance. Aurora must also file a decommissioning plan, cost estimate, and decommissioning financial assurance prior to the Aurora facility actually becoming operational. So staff recommends that the commission release Aurora's parent from its obligations and liability and replace it with the letter of credit filed on February 26th.
Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, so Randy, on this one, did our staff discover this?
I think Adam is on the line and could correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding was this kind of had to do with Italian law or something, and I don't think that they were able to do that parent guarantee, but I don't know then if it was them or us that discovered it.
Okay. If Adam's on the line, I would be interested in knowing, but it's not, it's neither here nor there. I guess I just was kind of pleased that it was discovered and that the proper guarantee can be secured. So whoever is responsible for that, whether it's a company that came forward or for staff kind of digging into it, it's a good thing that we got it straightened out. And I think these construction parent guarantees are important, and that's something that you advocated for, Randy, and I support, and I just am pleased to see this improvement.
They really are. I appreciate that. And it was certainly Adam that brought it to my attention and has done a nice job of working through this and coming up with an alternative that makes sure that we have something available just in case construction is suspended.
That concludes my remarks or comments.
And I have no comments related to this other than a nice catch, Adam.
We have a motion and we have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, RC3.
I got my tongue tied. Sorry.
Okay, this is a long motion, so you've got a little time to untie it, Steve. I move the commission approve bond release number 2 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 87.1 acres located in portions of sections 23 and 24, Township 146 North, Range 82 West of McLean County. No monetary release is being requested since the current bond amount is based on the worst case reclamation condition for this permit and others at the Falkirk Mine. This release will become effective May 15th, 2020, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
So to just reemphasize the very last part of the last sentence there, there is still time for someone to request a formal hearing in this case. Otherwise, if it's adopted here, it will become effective in the middle of May. But the history of this, on September 23rd of 2019, the Falkirk Mining Company filed the application for bond release number 2, the surface coal mining permit, NAFK 8405, like I said, for that final bond release on these 87.1 acres. The post-mining land use of this tract is residential and be used as a farmstead by Chad and Jennifer Berg. This tract is located, like I said, in two different sections of land up there in McLean County. Final grading on the area was completed in 2009. Soil respread and initial seeding was completed between 2008 and 2018 as things developed. The area was respread with approximately 10 inches of topsoil, over 14 inches of subsoil. And these soil respread depths were identified during the bond release inspection by our team. The entire tract was initially reclaimed for cropland use. Portions of the tract were hayed from 2008 to 2018, which is a normal process in the cropland reclamation development. In December of 17, Falkirk entered into a land swap agreement with Chad and Jennifer Berg. We could develop this release tract into a farmstead because the Berg's former farmstead located in another area of the permit will be mined through in the near future. So in October,
sir, can I have just a moment? Anyone who is on the line, could you please mute your phones? We were getting some feedback, Randy. I apologize.
Okay. Was it audible though? Should I repeat that or resume where I left off?
I had a little trouble with the last couple of sentences.
Okay. I'll go back to in December of 2017, Falkirk entered into a land swap agreement with Chad and Jennifer Berg so that they could develop this bond release tract into a farmstead because the Berg's former farmstead, which is located in another area of this mine permit, will be mined through in the near future. So in October of 2018, a revision was approved and changed the post-mining land use on this tract to residential. Two single family homes, several farm buildings and grain bins have been built or relocated to this tract. Both family homes are occupied now. The farmstead also includes a feedlot, a hay yard, spring calving lot, and future farmstead shelter belt areas. Now, no shelter belts were planned for this tract. However, the landowner and Falkirk have an agreement in place to plant several shelter belts around the perimeter of the farmstead after bond release. And those shelter belts will be planted by the local soil conservation district at the landowner's convenience. They are not subject to the commission's vegetation success standards because no shelter belts were included in the approved post-mine land use for this tract. So again, this is a separate agreement that the Bergs have made with their local soil conservation district and with Falkirk on the shelter belts. North Dakota Administrative Code allows for a liability period of less than the normal 10 years for certain land uses, including residential, provided that certain requirements are met. However, the ground cover standards do apply to the area not affected by the construction activities. The bond release inspection was conducted on October 23rd of 2019. Attending the inspection were Bruce Beachy and Preston Ripplinger from our Reclamation Division and representatives from the Falkirk Mine. The owners were invited to participate in the inspection, as well as the county commissioners, the county and state road authority personnel, and advisory committee members. However, they did not attend the inspections. No concerns were noted during the inspection. Notice of the final bond release application was published in the official county newspaper, which in this case is the McLean County Independent, and also in the Bismarck Tribune for four consecutive weeks on October 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st of last year. No objections or concerns were received regarding the application. Falkirk, did, as I mentioned in the motion, did not request any reduction in the bond amount because this is their bond is for the entire permit area and is covered by a worst case reclamation condition. In this case, if this bond release for this tract is granted, Falkirk will be released from all reclamation liabilities on this particular tract. If approved, the bond release will become effective May 15th, unless a formal hearing is requested. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this release application and recommend that it be approved, as do I. That concludes my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, it's always a positive, kind of an exciting time when there's bond release. So it's nice to have some good news. Just shows the full completion of the whole mining process. And this one, I think, is a nice story because a farm family is getting resettled in another area. Based on the photos and the maps provided, it looks like a really great operation that they have planned and that they have organized and worked with the mining company to facilitate. And I just like a lot of things about this. I think it's a success story, and pleased for the good work that our team did and the mining company and the landowner all together. Great cooperation here, and it looks to be a very good project.
And I could not agree more. I believe that concludes the discussion.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, RC4, the last item that I have, I move the commission submit the 2021 administration and enforcement grant application to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement to request federal funds that are needed to carry out the coal regulatory program for the next 1 year grant period that begins July 1st, 2020 and ends June 30th of 2021.
Second.
And so I just want to emphasize before I talk about this more to keep in mind, we get used to dealing in our 2 year biennial budgets. Now this kind of divides that and we're talking about the 1 year grant period. So keep that in mind. But OSM, as the motion said, recently announced the federal grant allocations for the period of July 1st of this year through June 30th of 2021. North Dakota was allocated $1,016,025 for our program. That is almost $20,000 more than the current grant, but it's about $30,000 less than what we had projected. But our team thinks that they can work through it. Total budget for that 1 year period will be $1,587,539. And so that includes both our direct costs as well as the indirect costs that this program pays to help with some of the the other functions of the Public Service Commission. The $1.587 million is divided. The federal share is this $1,016,000, and then there's also $571,000 of state money. That's a 64-36 split, and that is based on the federal coal acres within existing permits and within pending applications. There's of those, both the permits and the pending apps, 64% of our area is federal, and thus the ratio that we have here. So, like I say, it's just ever so slightly more than what we have for this current year, or a little less than what we were anticipating, but our team's gonna make it work.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Crispin. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't have any comments on this.
Okay, and I do not either.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner Crisman. In terms of announcements, as mentioned, we do have the hearing on Friday, April 17th. It begins at 9:30 a.m. It is a formal hearing for Northern Divide Wind, case number PU-19-376 and PU-19-377, which would be the transmission line associated with that that project. And as mentioned before, this is a telephonic conference for the public to engage with the commission or simply to listen in on the proceedings. That phone number, telephone number, as well as the access code, is located on the Public Service Commission website. And if you have any trouble, if anyone is listening, finding that number, simply call the commission. We will take care of you. And again, essentially, all you have to do is dial in, and you can listen and or participate when we get to the comments section. On Friday, April 24th, we also have another formal hearing that is at 9 o'clock a.m. And that is case number PU-20-82. And that is OE2 North LLC. It's the B. Sanderson Gas Plant, a gas processing plant in Williams County. And that is a siting application. And again, it would be the same telephone number as the formal hearing this Friday. And again, that can be found at the Public Service Commission website. And our next regular commission meeting will be on Thursday, April 30th at 10 o'clock. And I believe that would be, well, and then actually that afternoon at 2 p.m., we do have a formal hearing. It's a consolidated hearing for Montana Dakota Utilities. It's case number PU-19-306, 19-307, and 19-317. And these are tied to Heskett 4 and also deferred accounting for the Lewis and Clark 1 and Heskett 1 and 2. At this time, we will take a
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner.
If I could interrupt, that April 30th hearing, when we do scheduling later on in the administrative portion of the meeting, you know, that was set on a Thursday, and we have both that as well as the MDU hearing that you announced. And the reason that we're having that meeting on a Thursday was because that was to be a travel day for me regarding SPP, which is of course not happening now. So I was going to bring up in our scheduling whether we wanted to move that back to Wednesday. And so I just, while the public is able to listen in, was going to offer out there that there's the potential, maybe if you two want to change it, I'm willing to. I don't have strong feelings about it. And then also, tomorrow is the scheduled bid opening for AML projects. Huge deal for those contractors who bid on and seek those opportunities. And there's been some confusion, and it's been one of my words of warning with doing a lot of these kinds of things remotely, while we have an IT team and get some advice and do this routinely, everybody else doesn't. And in the last, 12 to 24 hours, there's been a whole lot of confusion from contractors who did not realize that this was going to be done remotely and anticipated bringing paper copies in tomorrow morning. And so I believe that meeting is, or that bid opening is going to be rescheduled for next Thursday, April 23rd at 4:00 p.m.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if we can change the MDU hearing because we've already noticed that. So I believe we are going to just have to move forward with the 2:00 start time on the date as mentioned.
Now, I was only referencing our regular meeting if we wanted to move that to Wednesday.
Oh, I see. Okay, let's talk about that in the schedule, and that makes sense. Okay, we will now take a brief recess to see if anyone from the press is on the telephone. This meeting is now in recess.